This is Science Friday. I'm Ira Flatow. When you go out for a cup of coffee, have you noticed that the sugar holder is getting a little more colorful? There are more and more artificial sweeteners out there promising you an alternative to sugar with zero calories. Well, there is no such thing as a sweet-free lunch, especially when it comes to your gut bacteria. In a study out this week in Nature, researchers say that artificial sweeteners may negatively affect your microbiome. Those are the trillions of bacteria in your gut that more and more evidence indicates may influence our health. Aaron Elinov is one of the authors of that study. He's also a senior researcher in the Department of Immunology at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rehovot, Israel. Welcome to Science Friday.
Hi there.
You looked at mice in your study and you fed them a diet full of artificial sweeteners. Take us through what you studied.
Well, in this project, my lab and the lab of my colleague Ron Segal from the Weizmann Institute studied first in mice three commonly used artificial sweeteners, saccharin, sucralose, and aspartame, and we gave them in the drinking water to groups of mice. And to our surprise, we could reproducibly detect a state of glucose intolerance, which is a state in which the body has trouble processing sugar after we give it in a meal, and it's considered an early sign a condition that may eventually lead to full-blown diabetes in some individuals. And these results were surprising, but we repeated them in mice, mainly focusing on saccharin in more experiments, in different doses, formulations, in obesity, in lean state, and also in different strains of mice, and we kept getting the same kind of results.
Go ahead.
What was really surprising to us was in these results is that many of these compounds are calorie-free, which means that the body does not recognize them or digest them. So it was a little bit strange to us how they would create these systemic events. And so we decided to focus on the gut microbiome, this really immense and poorly understood population of microbes that we all harbor from the day we are born.
And you discovered what about the microbiome?
So what we discovered is that indeed these compounds have profound effects on both the composition and the function of our gut microbe, and these functional changes that they induce are the drivers of the downstream metabolic effects that are seen in mice.
Wow. I mean, our body doesn't usually absorb artificial sweeteners. Do the gut bacteria recognize these sweeteners as sugars, perhaps?
So we're not really sure yet how they recognize these compounds, but what we are sure is that this encounter results in very profound changes in many different levels in these bacteria. First of all, their composition really changes in a very reproducible signature. Some bacteria will get really extended, others get diminished. But more importantly, when we sequence the total genomes of all of these thousands of different kinds of bacteria, we noticed that several metabolic pathways of these bacteria really change, and these pathways have been previously described and previously shown both in mice and in humans to be associated with tendencies for obesity, for glucose intolerance, and for other features of the metabolic syndrome.
Right. Is it possible to see if this actually works in humans also?
Yes. So after these really extensive sets of experiments, we asked ourselves whether this is also relevant for humans. And to test this, at least in a preliminary way, we used two different cohorts of individuals. In the first, we used a cohort of 381 individuals that are part of a large-scale nutritional study that we had. And we, in this study, we really extensively acquire an unparalleled amount of data on each of the participating individuals, including their gut microbes and many metabolic parameters. And when we looked at their artificial sweetener consumption, we could see that it was very significantly correlated to several different metabolic parameters that were disturbed. And especially interesting was the comparison between people who consume high amounts of artificial sweeteners to those who consume no artificial sweeteners. And there we could see very significant changes in the glucose blood levels and changes in the gut microbes. This was the first cohort.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. So how long, when you experimented on the people, how long did it take for you to notice a change in the gut microbes there?
So in this first cohort, this is an ongoing trial, so we look at long-term consumers of different foods, including artificial sweeteners. So we just analyzed the data, and this was a very extensive snapshot. But in the second cohort of individuals, to really try, even in a very preliminary way, to prove causality or to prove that in humans the gut microbes are affected by artificial sweeteners and induce metabolic disturbances, we picked 7 individuals, all young and healthy, who do not regularly consume artificial sweeteners as part of their normal diet. And we enrolled them in a one-week trial in which we, again, extensively measured many metabolic parameters, including use of a continuous glucose monitor, which measures their glucose levels every 5 minutes for the entire week. And every day we also characterized their gut microbes. And what we could see is that in some of these individuals, a little more than half, in 4 out of these 7, but not in all of them, when we administered saccharin in the maximal recommended daily dose, starting from day 2 of this week, within a few days, we could detect a significant rise in their blood glucose levels. In 3 of the individuals, the blood glucose levels remained the same. They did not improve or did not elevate. Mm-hmm. And when we looked at the gut microbes of these 2 subgroups of people, we could very significantly differentiate them based on their composition of the gut microbes.
So that the ones who did move their glucose levels also changed their gut microbes?
Absolutely. And moreover, to prove that this was really, to prove the egg and the chicken phenomenon, to prove that the gut microbes are responsible for the glucose level rise, we actually took the gut microbes from 2 of the responding individuals and transfer them into sterile germ-free mice. These are mice that are housed in special conditions and they don't have any microbes within them or around them. And when we did this, the mice developed the same elevation in blood sugar levels as the individual who transferred their gut microbes into them. And when we did the same and transferred the gut microbes from 2 of the non-responding individuals into germ-free mice, the microbes did not induce any change in the mice glucose levels. So this is at least a preliminary experiment on a small number of individuals, but it suggests, or even strongly suggests, that in some cases our unique composition of microbiome would determine if we would be susceptible to artificial sweeteners, and if this is the case, our gut microbes are able to drive or to contribute to these disturbances to develop.
So, very interesting. Where do you go from here with your studies then? What would you like to do next?
So, of course, every study like this opens up many avenues of research and many remaining questions. For mm-hmm. example, in most of our microbiome experiments, we mainly focused on saccharin as a prototypical sweetener. And it would be extremely interesting to see whether the same mechanisms or perhaps different mechanisms account for the differences that we saw with the other 2 artificial sweeteners, aspartame and sucralose. There are also, as you know, other artificial sweeteners out there which we haven't checked, and some of them are considered natural, some are not, and these would be, I think, very interesting for us and for others to check as well. And a third avenue would be to check for the long-term effects. We have not seen a lot of weight gain or weight reduction in the short period of time that we followed both the mice and the humans. And the question is whether if we would follow them for longer periods of time, we would see perhaps in a subset of individuals changes to either direction in their weight or in other metabolic parameters. So there are many interesting questions that could be studied.
Yeah, you've just added more information to how important it's appearing that the gut bacteria, the microbiome, is to our health and how it can influence other parts of the body.
Absolutely, and this is really the center of my research. And, we consider the microbiome as a neglected organ, which was out there and neglected for more than a century because we didn't have the technology to sequence it until we developed the technology for the human genome mapping, which enabled us also to look at our bacteria. But now when we do, we find it to be extremely important in almost every aspect of our physiology, and also important in many common diseases, starting from obesity, but also in inflammatory disorders and even in cancer.
Yeah, you know, studies have said that these sweeteners can trick your brain into eating more because it hasn't received the sugar it's craving. You know, it's sweet, but it hasn't got the sugar. Do you think that these gut bacteria could play a part in that, triggering the brain somehow through the nervous system?
I think that's an excellent question, and actually the field of microbiome research has began to look at the brain-gut axis in the last couple of years, and the really striking and unexpected results pointing to bilateral regulation and influence between these two seemingly unrelated organs, leading to at some times even susceptibility to disease. So I wouldn't rule it out as another mechanism or maybe a related mechanism to the observations that we have made, and this would be an excellent topic to perform further research.
And you'll be doing some of that yourself.
We are heavily studying the microbiome in many different aspects and many different disease states, we are very
and it's very surprising.
Surprised by importance. Yeah.
Everybody we talked to, and we've talked to the microbiome a lot, and everybody seems so surprised of how influential it is on the body. Yeah.
Yes, and if you think about it, you know, it's kind of a second genome that we have, because the number of microbes that we each have is 10 times the number of human cells, and the number of genes that this ecosystem carries within us is more than 100-fold more abundant than the total number of our human genes. So you may imagine how important they might be.
Dr. Elinoff, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. Good luck
to
you.
Sure, it's been my pleasure.
Eran Elinoff is a senior researcher in the Department of Immunology at the Weizmann Institute of Science in Rehovot, Israel.